So the envelope came certified, and the letter says the IRS wants to collect the business's unpaid payroll taxes from you, personally, even if that company shut down years ago.
Right. That's the trust fund recovery penalty, and it's the one civil penalty that ignores the wall between a business and the people who ran it.
Okay, before the numbers, what exactly is it recovering? Because people assume it's the whole payroll tax bill.
It isn't. Under IRC 6672, it's a 100% penalty on the trust fund portion only. That's the federal income tax you withheld from employees, plus the employee's share of Social Security and Medicare. The employer's matching share, the deposit penalties, the interest on the business account, those stay with the business.
So the personal number is smaller than what the business owes?
Usually, yes. Which is also why step one is always verifying the math. If the proposed penalty includes the employer's matching share, somebody made an error, and that's worth catching.
Let's do the article's example, because it made it click for me.
Sure. Hypothetical numbers. One quarter, $150,000 in wages. Withheld income tax, $18,000. Employees, Social Security, and Medicare, $11,475. Employer's matching share, another $11,475. Total 941 liability for that quarter, $40,950.
And the trust fund piece is the first two.
$18,000 plus $11,475. $29,475. That's what can be pinned on each responsible person for that quarter.
$29,475. Say that back. Each responsible person? Each?
Each. Stretch it to four quarters like that, and the proposed penalty against you personally is 4 times $29,475. $117,900. If a co-owner is also found responsible, you're each assessed $117,900 for the same dollars. The IRS collects those dollars once, and whatever the business or either of you pays gets cross-credited against the others.
Which brings us to that big national number. And I want you to slow down on it, because I think it gets misread.
It does. FY 2025, the IRS credited $738,943,809 in trust fund recovery penalties. Call it $738.9 million. That's IRS data book, table 4-2, footnote 13.
$738.9 million. And it shows up in the abatement column?
It does, and that's the trap. Credited is not forgiveness. Those are the cross credits we just talked about. Payments moving across the mirrored business and personal accounts as the balance gets paid down. So read it as the scale of real money running through personal trust fund accounts in a single year.
Is there a count of people?
No. The IRS doesn't publish a clean annual count of individuals assessed. The dollar figure is the best public yardstick we have.
Okay, so who gets caught in this? Because the listener I'm picturing isn't a CEO. They're
often not. Two findings are required. Responsible, meaning you had authority over which bills got paid, and willful, meaning you knew the taxes were unpaid and paid someone else first. Willful does not mean malicious. Keeping the lights on while the 941 balance grew is enough.
That's the part people can't believe.
And the net reaches officers, partners, CFOs, bookkeepers, outside check signers. It attaches to the quarters when you had that authority. So leaving the company afterward or retiring doesn't undo it.
Walk me through the sequence, because the article's point is that each stage takes away options you had at the one before.
Right. The business misses deposits. And deposit and failure to pay penalties stack on the business account. Then an investigation opens. A revenue officer is typically assigned, and you may get letter 3164 telling you the IRS is contacting third parties. Then the form 4180 interview.
Stop there. What is that interview? in plain terms.
It's the IRS asking who signed checks, who decided which bills got paid, who knew the taxes were unpaid. Your answers become the IRS's evidence on responsibility and willfulness. And you are allowed representation at that interview.
Allowed representation. People don't know that.
Statements made there are nearly impossible to walk back. That's the honest reason to prepare first.
Then letter 1153.
Letter 1153 is the formal proposal to assess the penalty against you. And there's a protest deadline printed on it. A written protest filed by that date sends the case to IRS appeals before anything hits your personal account. Appeals looks at responsibility, willfulness, and the math. Cost to file? Zero.
And if the deadline passes?
Then it's assessed, and it's your personal debt. Liens, bank levies, refund offsets are on the table. And up to 15% of Social Security benefits can be taken through the Federal Payment Levy Program. Interest compounds daily from there. The IRS has 10 years from assessment, the CSED, to collect from you.
And nobody's calling you first.
The IRS workforce shrank roughly 27% in 2025, per TIGTA reporting. But the assessments, liens, and levies run on automated systems that never stopped. Waiting for a human isn't a plan.
So what are the exits? And say the hard part out loud on each one.
The letter 1153 protest is the cheapest and earliest. If the business is still open, voluntary payments, not levied ones, can be designated to the trust fund portion first, which shrinks personal exposure. After assessment, a short-term plan gives up to 180 days. Interest keeps running. A long-term installment agreement, balances up to $50,000, can be set up online for up to 72 months, and penalties and interest keep accruing. Currently not collectible, pauses collection on proof of hardship. The debt stays, and the CSED keeps running. An offer in compromise, $205 fee plus 20% down on lump sum offers, both waived with low income certification, and it only works when the IRS's own math says you can't pay. Roughly 1 in 5 offers were accepted in FY 2024. And after assessment, there's a challenge or refund claim, typically Form 843.
Wait, first-time abatement? Does that reach this?
No, it does not reach the TFRP. The paths are the protest, the post-assessment challenge, and the resolution programs. That's it.
Does the amount change which of those is realistic?
Heavily. Under $10,000, it's pay in full or a guaranteed installment agreement. Minimal paperwork, no financial disclosure. $10,000 to $25,000, streamlined agreement territory. Above $50,000, you're into the Form 433 series, full financial disclosure. And over $66,000? That's the 2026 threshold where seriously delinquent tax debt can trigger passport certification.
$66,000. Noted. And bankruptcy. People ask.
Trust fund taxes are priority debts that generally survive personal bankruptcy. And the business closing doesn't erase a personal liability. That filing work sits outside what Clarity handles. So that's a conversation for your own counsel.
When can somebody just do this themselves?
When the amount is small, you agree. You are the responsible person. One quarter is involved and the math checks out. Or you can pay inside 180 days and just need the plan set up. The IRS's online tools handle that fine.
And when does it get past DIY?
A pending Form 4180 interview. Multiple people with check signing authority and the IRS deciding who to assess. The business still operating, where designation matters. A proposed amount that includes non-trust fund dollars. Or a fixed income, where a plan you can't sustain is worse than hardship status.
So, next 24 hours.
Find the letter, top right. Letter 3164, a Form 4180 request. Letter 1153, or a balance due bill. Circle any response date. Pull the forms 941 for those quarters, bank signature cards, payroll records, anything showing who controlled the checkbook.
then get it reviewed. 888-825-7779. Before the date printed on that letter decides for you.